Hi everyone, this is Pavan Raj Gowda reporting from California, USA. I am excited about today's segment. For the past few years, we have been hearing a lot of news and discussions on economy. Especially this election season, I was surprised to hear on TV that environmental policies are hindering the economic growth. This brought a lot of questions in my mind, and I looked for the right expert to have the discussion. I was very lucky to find Dr. Susie Kerr, who has completed her doctorate in economics from Harvard University and was a visiting professor at Stanford. She is now working at Motu Economic and Public Policy Research Institute in New Zealand, and her focus is around environmental policies. So, here is Dr. Susie Kerr, who is going to help us have a clearer understanding on this topic. Hi, Dr. Kerr.
Hello, Pavan. It's lovely to be talking with you today.
Okay, thank you. Every day on TV, I hear advertisements and politicians discuss their own ways to improve our economy. But what has puzzled me is why it is being recommended to continue old practices that have resulted in polluting and harming our environment. Do you think we have learned anything from our previous industrial experiences?
Well, yes, I think we have learned some. We know a lot more about how we can protect our environment today, but I think there are a couple of things we still haven't learned. And the first one is that whenever people think about the economy and trying to make a better life for people, they forget that the stuff that we have is only a very small part of what makes us happy, and that really what makes us happy is our friends and our families and feeling secure and those sorts of things. And we also forget that although we do know how to make the environment better and how to make ourselves happy, it's very hard for us to cooperate to protect the environment. Because when you go out and you do something good to protect the environment, what you're doing is helping other people too. And it's hard to think of all those people because you don't know all those people who you're also helping. And the same thing when you're harming the environment, the damage you're doing isn't really very visible to you. So I think it's very easy for us to forget the damage we're doing and focus on our own lives.
Well, it looks like short-term profit-making is more important for some people. So Sir Nicholas Stern has stated in his book, Economics of Climate Change, that climate change presents a unique challenge for economics. It is the greatest and widest ranging market failure ever seen. Could you please explain what he means by that?
Well, what he means firstly is that the market, or the way that our economies mostly work, is an incredibly clever thing. So when you think of something like the Bay Area with San Francisco and all those millions of people, all of you, every day you get electricity, you get food, you have places to live. There's an enormous number of things that have to happen to make your lives work really well. And we don't have some really clever person sitting in an office somewhere who organizes it all for you. It all happens through the market. But markets don't always work so well. And that's what we call a market failure, when there are things that go wrong in the market. And climate change is an example of that, because whenever you go and you drive your car and you go to the supermarket in your car or you go to your friend's house, you are having an effect on everybody all over the world. But you know, most of us, we don't think of that. We don't even know we're doing it. We're not very conscious of it. And that means that the private decisions that we're making in our lives are having impact, but we're not thinking about those, and so we're not making good decisions about those things. And not only, and he's talking about, not only are you affecting everybody all over the world, but you're also affecting future generations. So younger people like you, and also your children and your grandchildren will all be affected by the sort of things we're doing now. And we're not very good at dealing with that, and markets are not very good at dealing with that problem. So that's why we call it a market failure.
Yes, I agree. So it appears that many of the current businesses, leaders, and policymakers are leaning more towards short-term gains and are determined to leave all the environmental problems to us, the next generation, to solve. So if the policies are made stricter here, the businesses are taking their centers to other countries and they are causing damage to those communities. Do you think all countries should sign up on a treaty to commit to care for the environment? In your opinion, what do you think would be a solution to this?
Well, I think that, first of all, it is true that when you make your regulation stricter, as you just have in California, you've started to deal with climate change more seriously, really, than anyone else in the world at the moment. And that may mean some companies will think, maybe California's not the best place for my company, and maybe I'll go somewhere else. But most of them will still want to go to California because there's lots of smart people. It's a really good place to run a company. So not all the companies will leave. But to your second question, do I think countries should sign up on a treaty? I think ideally they would all sign up on a treaty. And we got quite close to that about 15 years ago with a treaty called the Kyoto Protocol. But it's very hard to get all the countries to agree to do something where each of the countries would really quite like to do something else. They wish everyone else would do all the hard work, but they would get off and they would get an easier ride. And so it's very hard to get those sorts of international treaties to work. So while we should still be trying to do that, we also need to, in all of our lives and in our communities and in our schools and in our companies, to all be thinking, what should we really be doing? What would the right thing to be doing if we were thinking about the whole world and future generations? Because although, you know, we often think it's the big companies who have the influence and they do have a lot, we have a lot of control too.
Wow, sounds like a tough thing to have everyone on the same page.
Yeah, it's really hard. And we all have to take responsibility for making that happen.
Feels like biomimicry, where they have proved that by learning from nature and using nature's principles, we can make our products sustainable and energy efficient without harming the environment. So why are policymakers not looking into enforcing industries to adopt it? Caring for the environment and innovation should not be two different choices, but it must be a requirement in every innovation for all types of industries. How difficult is it to enforce it through policies?
I agree that innovation is going to make a huge difference to what we do. We're going to have maybe 10 billion people on Earth, and we're going to have to be really smart and lots of good ideas to make that work well. So forcing people to innovate and forcing them to do things often doesn't very well, work very well, and I'm sure you see that in your own lives. When your mum and dad try to really force you to do something you don't want to do, maybe you do what they tell you to do, but you don't do it with all your heart and spirit, and you don't bring all your imagination to it in the way that you might if it was your own idea. So trying to force people to do things just doesn't work that well. An example of this is they have a real problem with plastic bags in Delhi in India, and they made a ban. They said it's illegal to use plastic bags. But it made almost no difference to the number of plastic bags because people didn't believe in it and they didn't support it. So you have to kind of bring the people along and have the laws. You need both.
Well, it still puzzles me why would it be so difficult when the end results are clearly good and would benefit everyone in the long run.
Yeah, no, you're completely right. We're doing the wrong thing and we should all change.
Well, another big area of my concern is the ads I keep seeing on TV about hydraulic fracking and increasing the use of coal and natural gas for energy. Several states have already suffered the side effects of fracking, and their underground freshwater system has been damaged, with no way yet to clean it up. Yet politicians and companies are pushing constantly on expanding fracking to many more areas across the country. More than money, every living being is entitled to fresh water and clean air. Shouldn't these oil companies and politicians first focus on these existing affected areas and show that we could fully recover and clean up after these damages before even talking about these further expansions? Instead, they're just coming back and stating that the issues are not caused by fracking. And even as a child, I can understand that our natural underground freshwater cannot get polluted with hazardous and inflammable chemicals by itself. So have we gone too far and greedy for short-term gains?
Well, I'm not an expert on fracking, and you know, there's a lot of science associated with that. But when you've got a new technology like that, that can have really big risks and we don't fully understand it, then we should go slowly and we should be sure that we know what's going on before we make problems that we can't reverse later on. So we should all keep pushing them to take care, to study the effects, to pay attention to the effects and so on. And yeah, I think we should be more careful than we're being. And this is a problem not just in the US. This is happening all over the world.
Yeah, it's such an unfortunate reality. So in the long run, what would be your recommendations for economic growth and protecting our planet?
Well, I think in a way, the question is not about economic growth. And do we really need economic growth for its own sake? What we want is for people to be happier and have more satisfying lives. And we should be focusing on that. And if we do that, we probably will get some economic growth. And a lot of that will involve having more jobs for people. I know California's still got a terrible problem with unemployment. And that's one of the things that makes people most unhappy, is not having a job and not having sort of something satisfying to do with their lives. But we shouldn't be talking about growth. We should be talking about the things that actually will make people better off, and everybody better off, and thinking in terms of that. And although some of that will be the same things that we're doing now, it might also involve worrying more about making sure that people are really secure and that they've got good friends and that they've got families to support them and that we've got a strong environment. And I think that's going to take a cultural shift, and I'm hoping your generation is beginning that shift to just changing the way we think about what it is that we want with our own lives and what it is that, as a society, as a whole group of people, what do we want with our lives?
Well, I truly wish that all our world leaders and business decision makers start listening to great, valuable advices from knowledgeable, experienced people like you, and commit to making this world a better place. Thank you very much for your time today. It was a very informative discussion, and I believe that my generation would be more sensible and follow your advices more closely. Thanks very much, Dr. Susie Kerr.
Well, thank you very much, Pavan. It's been really enjoyable to talk to you, and it's great to have young people who are really working on these issues. I have two children as well who are 7 and 10, and what I always say to them is that they need to keep their passion and that they need to make sure that they're informed, that they are able to direct that passion in ways that is really useful. And it sounds as though you're doing both. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I hope this discussion has made our listeners to think about our future path. And if you have any mind-boggling questions, please email me at info@greenkidsnow.org. And I'm determined to find the answers for you, even if I may not know much. For ideas on how you could take action, please visit my website, greenkidsnow.org. Thanks, and enjoy the rest of the show.